Welcome to Mountain View Church Audio, coming to you from the wilderness city, Whitehorse, Yukon. We strive to introduce people to Jesus through scripture, biblical instruction, and prayer with authenticity and vibrancy. You don't need to know anything about the Bible. Just sit back, relax, and let God do the rest.
Hello, and welcome to Mountain View Church. My name's Jeremy. Today we're talking about how to praise God. When you hear the words praising God, you might automatically envision people singing in a church service, but it can be so much more than that. If you want to learn how to praise God daily, if not hourly, you're in the right place. But before we get there, we have a few items that we need to praise God for. School has finally come to a close. And if you are a high school or college university graduate, we praise God for you. You have journeyed through a very different and at times difficult season to be a graduate. And so, this Sunday, we thank God for you and want to congratulate you. In our physical gatherings this Sunday, we will be distributing a gift to our high school and college university graduates. If you're unable to attend one of our physical gatherings, that's okay. Just let us know and we would be happy to get you your gift. Now, before we get into some music, I want to take a moment to thank God for our graduates and ask His blessing and guidance on the next phase of their journey. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for both our high school and college and university graduates. This year has been difficult, it's been different, but you're still in control. For some reason, they're in this place at this time, and it will be formative for them. And so, Father, we ask your guidance and blessing on them, that as they move into this next stage of their journey, that they would feel empowered. For those that don't know you, we pray that you might draw them to yourself and they might turn to you and put their faith in your salvation plan through your son, Jesus. And for those that know you, may they be confident and may they deepen their faith in you and through you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we enter into our final passage or passages in our Psalm series, looking at sacred songs, poems, and prayers, 150 of them written in the Bible, right in about the middle of the Bible. So you're going to want to grab one. If you have a physical Bible, you want to grab that. We're going to start in actually Psalm 146. If you don't have a Bible, you can download one on your Bible app, or you can text the number on the screen and we would be happy to send you a Bible. You won't get it for this message exactly, but we want to get a Bible into your hands. So let's jump right in. Today, we're going to actually tackle an overview of Psalm 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150. And it's going to be overview specifically of the first stanza of each of these five chapters. Maybe you're wondering, like, why would we do that? Well, each of them, all five of the last Psalms, start with the same phrase, praise the Lord. Or in the original Hebrew, hallelujah. Now, maybe you've heard that, maybe in movies or if you've been in church, people praising God and saying hallelujah, okay? That's basically what they're saying is praise the Lord, praise God. And so each of these five chapters, these five Psalms, start with praise the Lord, and then immediately after they give a way or a descriptor or a definition of sorts on how we praise God. And so today, again, we're going to look at how do we praise God? How do you do it? What does it look like? Well, it's actually quite unique and it's quite dynamic. It's not just about singing a song in church. It is so much more than that. And we're going to find out today. So we're going to dig right in. The first one we're going to look at is 146, and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. So here we go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. The first thing we see here is that praising God is personal. Praising God is personal. The author here says, from my soul, oh my soul, that's like the inmost being, that even if you were to look in kind of our modern culture, that if someone is trying to talk about what's deep within them, they'll use this term, my soul, deep in my soul. This is when I really mean it. I'm really all in. And so this author in this psalm, he's saying, I will praise the Lord, oh my soul. I will praise him as long as I live with all of my being. That it's a personal thing. And that means that praising God can happen, yeah, maybe in a church building. Okay, that's great. And we're going to get there. But to start with, just you and God. That you with God, maybe on a mountain, maybe on your couch, maybe on a porch, maybe by the side of the river. I don't know where it is. I don't know where your place is. It might even be, if you live in a city, it might be on a subway or on a bus, crowded with people. But it's still this moment, this personal moment, where you can praise God, just you and him. And you can give him praise and glory and worship. Praising God is personal. Now, take a moment now. And now we're going to jump to 147. 147 verse 1. Again, same thing. Starts the same way. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. Okay, so this second piece that I want to look at of praising God is beneficial. It is good for us. It's good for you. It's good for me. It's a pleasant thing. It's a fitting thing to do. But maybe you're kind of thinking like, okay, well, wait a second. What if I don't really feel like it or don't want to praise God? Well, there's no wrong time or bad time that you can choose to praise God. In fact, I would suggest to you that some of the greatest times that you may find where you're close to God and praising him the most and feeling that connection of worship and praise is, to be honest, in the worst of times, when you're struggling the worst, when everything seems to be coming down on top of you, that's a time where it's beneficial, it's fitting, it's pleasant, it is good to praise God. So don't ever think there's a time where you don't feel connected. Don't just think, oh, well, I'm in church now, or, oh, I feel good about God. Don't allow your feelings to govern what could be good and what could be beneficial for you. Make the thought-based choice. No, I will praise my God in this moment. Hallelujah. I will praise the Lord no matter what's happening. And I'm telling you, that if you do that, even in the worst of times, it may transform your circumstances, or at least transform how you feel about that circumstance. And you might start to see, okay, this is good for me. This struggle is good for me. It will be beneficial. It will give me endurance and perseverance. Okay, let's keep going. So now let's move on to 148. Now in 148, Psalm 148, in verses 1 or 2, here's what we read. Praise the Lord, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Here we see this psalm starts with that praising God is supernatural. Maybe spiritual, but more than that, it's supernatural. That the psalmist here talks about from the heavens, the glory, the unseen, the highest level. And it says the heights, the highest we can get, the stars, the universe, physically, but even past that and beyond, because it says, praise him, all his angels, all his hosts, that the great magnitude in the supernatural realm, in the spiritual realm, that praising God is a supernatural endeavor. And you might think, okay, yeah, angels and heavenly hosts, like I kind of pictured, yeah, they're going to praise God. That kind of makes sense. And maybe in your worldview, you maybe kind of think, oh yeah, when I get to heaven, I'm going to kind of be an angel. Or, well, it's not like that. The Bible doesn't actually teach that we become angels. It doesn't happen. And believe it or not, you can actually have an impact on the supernatural and the spiritual right now. That right now, even though we're physical bodies, we are still in the spiritual. And we actually are in a spiritual battle. There is an enemy against Jesus, against God's plan to save you, to save me. And they're There are angels and demons. And when we praise God, when we say hallelujah, when we praise the Lord, that reverberates into the supernatural, the spiritual realm. And again, the enemy is wanting to beat you down. He does not want you to choose to praise God. He doesn't want you to choose to lift up your head out of your circumstances and see the God of the Bible, to see the God that wants to save you, know you, love you. And so do not miss that praising God is a supernatural endeavor. It reverberates past the physical into the supernatural, into the spiritual realm. Now let's move on to 149. 149 verse 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. Okay, this word assembly is important. So what I want us to understand is that praising God is also communal. Community, right? A community gets together of the godly, of people who choose to follow God, people who have chosen to accept Jesus as the Messiah and King and the Savior and Lord of their life, people who have accepted that he is the Son of God and that he died on the cross to pay for our sin, rose on the third day, conquering sin and death, and ascended to heaven to prepare a place for us when we enter the spiritual realm. People that believe in that, that when we assemble together, we are a community of believers, a community of Christ followers, a community of the godly. And so if we understand that, that assembly word is actually a pointer to what's referred to as the church. And this whole thing of assembly, this is really important right now in this digital physical age, in this hybrid world that we're kind of working through as we move from kind of COVID lockdowns and things are starting to reopen. And maybe you've heard of pastors being arrested and brought to jail because they stand so firmly that from their position that the ultimate and only way to gather is in the physical building. And so they're willing, that's kind of a place that they're willing to not let go of. And they're going to hold to it even to the point where if there's COVID infection and they get arrested, then they're okay with that. Now, maybe you're wondering like, okay, maybe you think, oh, that's a good thing. Maybe you think that's a terrible thing. Well, maybe you're asking, okay, well, what about Mountain View? Where do we sit? Well, for me, when I look at the Bible, if you want to know me personally and our pastor elder team, where we kind of sit on this in the assembly of coming together and praising God, if you were to ask me, do I believe that Christians should get together to praise God, to learn about God? Yes, absolutely. I think if you can, if you feel comfortable, if you're able and willing, I think it's a good thing for Christians to gather again together. I think that's what God wants. Now, here's the difference. If you were to ask me, oh, do you believe that it absolutely has to be in the church building? No, sorry. I can't, from what I see in the Bible, state that that's the way it has to be. I can't state that Christians can't gather in the workplace, in the home, at a campsite, and the church building. The assembly is actually the church. It's the gathering. So praising God communally, it's not about where you're at. It's who you're with. Now, this is gets into the whole common argument right now as far as, well, can digital be communal? Well, I have friends and we have people who go to our church that have autoimmune diseases that have gone through cancer treatment and their immune system's low. And so they're legitimately nervous about this current moment. And I'm not going to judge that, or I'm not going to force them to say, well, no, you have to gather with other people. For them, the digital gathering and interacting with people online and praising God together online and maybe through Zoom or through FaceTime or Skype and these kind of things, these are legitimate. It is still a gathering of over the common grace that God showed us that this happened during a technological age. And so who am I to say to anyone, you have to be in this building at this time, no matter what? I don't think, and I don't believe that this is what the Bible teaches. However, to come back to our psalm, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. And I would suggest to you, if you're not gathering with people in some way, shape, or form, and COVID has maybe prevented you from gathering communally to praise God, to learn about God, that can kind of become an addiction. You can kind of get used to never being around other believers. And maybe there's one or two that come in, but it's not a discipline, because it's a hard thing to cut that time in and say, you know, once a week or twice a month, we will gather with God's people. We will gather with people who follow Jesus, and we're going to make it a priority. And I already know that some of you who have families, you've already expressed to me that as things maybe open up and as more vaccines are out there and things like that, some of you feel comfortable and you've actually said, no, for our family, we really do need to get back to gathering together, either with other families in home or here in the church building on Sundays. So again, I know I went a lot on this topic, but I think it's fitting for this moment. I think it's important. Praising God is a communal thing, the assembly, the church. Now we're going to get into our final one, which is probably what I believe to be the most important. Big thanks to Adam. He read this short and yet all-encompassing psalm, I would say. There's so many important things in this. And so here's what it says, Psalm 150, verse 1. It says, praise the Lord, again, hallelujah. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Well, I actually wrestled with this one the most, and it's fitting that it's the last one. I didn't know what to title it. I was stuck between saying praising God is theological, which is kind of a very, you know, heady term, but or praising God is eternal. And so I've kind of settled on it's both and in this passage, that praising God is a theological thing. It's core doctrine beliefs, but it's also an eternal thing that lasts past this life and into the next life, into our forever life. And here's what I mean. For example, it says, praise God in his sanctuary. Now, we could state, oh, his sanctuary based on like where he resides in heaven. Yeah, and that would maybe seem right, because it says, praise him in his mighty heavens. So yeah, where he sits, that's part of it. And that is very like eternal and theological. But now this word sanctuary, this is an interesting thing in our current moment, because maybe if you grew up in church, when I said the word sanctuary, you automatically thought the church auditorium. Oh, that's God's sanctuary. And for a part of church history, that's kind of how it was looked like. It kind of looked like, but this is kind of like where Old Covenant and New Covenant kind of get in the way. In the Old Testament and the Old Covenant, there was the Holy of Holies in the temple, and that God resided there. And so, you know, to get into the sanctuary, physically, I guess, you're kind of going into the temple, and once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, and it was like getting as close you could physically to God. But remember, Jesus came, God's son, sent by the Father, and he turned this whole thing on its head. Perhaps you remember, if you've read a little bit of the Gospels, the story of the woman at the well. So in this, Jesus meets this woman that's, her life's just a real struggle. She's made a lot of terrible mistakes, and he's showing her grace and revealing himself to her. And there's a discussion on where people worship, where does God reside? And for her in her system of beliefs and culture and the background of where she's at, God resides on a mountain, right? And she's talking to Jesus, but who's Jewish, and said, well, you believe he resides in the temple, and in Jerusalem. And there's this back and forth a bit, but then Jesus opens up this thing, he totally turns it on his head and says, there's going to come a time where people don't worship on the mountain or the temple, but they're going to worship in spirit and in truth. And what he was pointing to is that there's going to come a time, there came a time, and we're living it now, where Jesus died for the sins of the world, died for your sin and my sin, and he rose again to conquer it and ascended to heaven. And so there's no sacrificial system anymore. There's no having to go to a certain building, that Jesus actually transformed us, and that God, through Jesus, we become the sanctuary. We become what's referred to as the temple. We're the new temple. And that God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, when we give our lives to Jesus, accept his forgiveness and the payment of sin that he offered in God's salvation plan, that the Holy Spirit comes inside of us and we become the sanctuary. You maybe, if you grew up in church, there's a, kind of an old hymn, an old spiritual, that it was, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. And this song that you want to prepare your heart, you want to prepare your soul, your mind, that you want to receive the Holy Spirit and you want him to reside, that we become the sanctuary. Now, this is huge. You're like, oh man, all this from just Psalm 151. Well, this is why we study the whole Bible, because as we go through scripture, more is revealed and we start to understand that, again, it's not about the building. The sanctuary is not actually the sanctuary. That the assembly is not actually the assembly. That Jesus spreads this out, that no matter where you are, you can be a part of his church, his assembly, and you can be a sanctuary where God lives. And so this is the theological piece, but I want to talk about also the eternal. It says that praise him in his mighty heavens, praise him for his mighty deeds, praise him according to his excellent greatness. And that's really the question here. Do you believe in God's greatness? Do you believe in his plan to save you? That he sent his son to die for you and your sin and the wrong and selfishness and self-centeredness in your life? Are you ready to give your life to him? Because this is where this psalm points to eternity. His greatness, his goodness, his mighty works, they are eternal, everlasting. And you can be a part of that. You can choose today, I give my life to you, God, and I accept Jesus, your son, and I will follow him. And this is the moment. But maybe you know Jesus, and for you in this moment, this sermon and this message and these psalms, you're like, wow, it's been a long time since I just praised God. I get it. Some of us have been stuck at home, working at home, doing stuff at home, getting food delivered, groceries over. Maybe that's you. And it's like, and you're like, I don't even really remember what it feels like or looks like to actually choose to praise God with everything I am, to praise God personally, to praise him beneficially, supernaturally, communally, theologically, eternally. Praising God is so much more than simply singing a song. Although, as we know from the Psalms, these spiritual songs, it's important. So what do we do today? Well, in a little bit, we're going to get to communion, which is communal. And for you, you're maybe sitting at home, and there's others that are maybe going to be sitting in the church building, and maybe some of you are all alone in a break room at work. I don't know. But we're going to each take a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine or grape juice, and we're going to take communion together. We're going to remember the sacrifice that Jesus paid, and we're going to remember the cross, and we're going to remember what he did for us. The bread being his body, the blood, the cup being his blood, the reflection of that, the remembrance of that, the symbol of that. And we're going to do that together, even though we're not all in the same room. We're going to gather in communion. The assembly of God's people in a moment are going to take communion together. Each of us, a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, we're going to once again get in tune with the Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things, ask the Holy Spirit to remember why we started this journey in the first place, why we first chose to follow Jesus. And to get us there, I'm not going to go into discussion questions today. We're actually going to pause right now and we're going to worship together. We've got another song lined up, and it might be awkward. Maybe you're sitting at home, but maybe singing, maybe listening. Maybe this will be the first time you stood in worship for a long time. Or maybe you actually kneeled and just gave full reverence to God. Again, it's not a feeling, it's a choice. It's a thoughts over feeling thing, which is very countercultural. We can choose to praise God in this moment. And so for you and I, why don't we do that? Though separate, we're corporate. Though individual, we're communal. Let's gather together in worship and praising God. Hallelujah. And then come together in communion. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for these psalms of praise. I thank you that we're ending here. Father, today, as we sing this next song, as we move into communion, we choose to praise you. We choose to give you all the glory and honor. Some of us may stand with hands raised. Some of us may kneel, lay down as if we were at the foot of the cross, thanking you and praising you for sending your son Jesus to die for us and conquering sin and death so that we can be free and have eternal life with you. Father, if there's people out there listening to this that don't know you, I pray that they would finally submit their lives, that they would do the ultimate praise and worship by giving over their lives and submitting themselves to your salvation plan. And for those of us that know you, may we cut our pride purposefully. May we cut the awkwardness and not care. Wherever we're at, Father, may we praise you and honor you. We thank you. Thank you for this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now we're going to move into communion. The communion passage we're going to use today is from 1 Corinthians 11, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. And if you don't have some already, pause the video and grab some bread or crackers, some wine or grape juice, and we're going to get started. We're first going to ask a blessing on the bread, and then I'll read the passage and we'll take the bread, and then I'll pray for the cup, and then I'll read the passage and we'll take the cup. So let's pray. Dear Father, we humble ourselves and we pause before your glory to remember the sacrifice of your son Jesus. We thank you that you loved us enough that you gave up your one and only son to die on our behalf. And Father, we turn to the bread first as a remembrance of Jesus' body that was beaten and whipped, nailed to the cross, that he was unrecognizable as a man, his flesh torn, the punishment for sin. It's gruesome, Father, but we want to choose to remember so that we can understand what it means. We also thank you that he, on the cross, he also took your wrath, the wrath that you pour down for sin. We are all fallen. As we take this bread, may we be repentant, may we be humble and reverent. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. First Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Dear Father, as we move to the cup, give us an understanding and a discernment for how important it is. Simple juice or wine, but it represents the atoning blood of your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for going to the cross for us. We thank you for taking the punishment. Thank you that you chose to allow your blood to be spilled to cover our sin. Today we choose to remember, we choose to honor you, we choose to give thanks to you. We understand that we could not have done this on our own, that only you, Jesus, could have paid for the greatness of our sin, the depth, width of our sin. Only you, Jesus. So we thank you. Verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11. "In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" If you're new to Mountain View Church, once again, I'd ask you to get connected. If you're gathering physically, fill out a welcome card, hand it into the welcome desk. If you're gathering digitally, click the connect button or text connect to the number on the screen. We want to get to know you. We want to invite you in to serving and volunteering here, joining one of our teams. There's lots of opportunities to grow and to strive forward in your faith and your journey with Jesus. And again, if you have never made that commitment to Jesus, but you're still on the edge, you're on the fence and you don't really know, please don't just sit with that. Reach out to us. Let us know. Someone from our staff or leadership or myself will contact you and can walk you through any of the questions you might have. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week for our Celebration Sunday. And if you're unsure what that means, stay tuned. Watch our social media feeds and our website because there's going to be information released in the next couple days.
Thanks for listening to Mountain View Church Audio. If you have given your life to Jesus today or would like to join, serve, or support Mountain View Church, please let us know. Email connect@mountainviewwhitehorse.ca. That's connect@mountainviewwhitehorse.ca. Lastly, feel free to connect with us through social. Just search @Mountain View Whitehorse. Have a blessed week.